The topic that was announced is the leader's need to care for himself and his family. I really want to concentrate on the first part of this, on the leader's need to care for himself. Last year I had the topic of balancing the Lord's work and the family, and probably what was said at that time would be sufficient to cover the family aspect, and I guess somehow you can get a hold of that tape, and if you can't see me, I guess I could find you one. I'd be happy to provide it to you. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I think it's very clear from Scripture that those in leadership, and this is actually a workers and elders conference, and so when I say leadership, I include in that those who may not be in oversight, but who are workers as we described them. But I'm sure what I have to point out tonight will be applicable to all those who are the Lord's people. I say that because probably no one in the room needs what I'm about to say tonight more than I do. And I say that seriously. I find this topic to be a personal challenge, and I trust that you may as well. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a carved image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Acts chapter 20. The setting, of course, is Paul speaking to the elders of Ephesus. I will just read, for sake of time, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over or among which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And then lastly, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Scriptures take this phrase, take heed, and repeat it numerous times. Over 20 times you will find the phrase, take heed unto thyself, thyselves, or yourselves, in Scripture. And of course, the thrust of the statement, take heed, is that you pay attention, that you give attention to yourselves, you pay attention to yourselves. And how vital that is today for all of us as Christians, that we pay attention to ourselves. Now we know that Philippians chapter 2 tells us that we shouldn't really be looking upon ourselves, but upon the things of others. But there's a vital need for each one of us to be giving attention to ourselves. Some of these are, and I'll just give you some examples. You don't need to turn to each one of them. Moses says, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget. And you'll notice this is a theme in Deuteronomy, lest thou forget. Take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So Moses' exhortation and statement is that they need to take heed to themselves that they don't forget these things. I want to suggest that in at least the assemblies that I'm familiar with, I honestly believe there is a lack of repeating of basic doctrines. Somehow we have the feeling that that subject was taught here last year, and therefore we won't need it for another 5 or 10. And I want to suggest that we get into the habit of repeating so that we don't forget the basic doctrines of Scripture. Moses it was, we read this, "Take heed unto thyself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God." We are prone to forget. I'm getting to the age now, I said yesterday was my birthday, getting to the age now where I have the excuse of a senior moment. And a senior moment, of course, is when you forget. It's a very convenient excuse, by the way. But we do forget. I'm reminded of the disciples. The Lord fed 5,000 people. I have found this so practical and so true in my own life. Fed 5,000 people. And after that, it came to feed 4,000. And the disciples said, "Where are we going to get the food from?" They had seen him feed the 5,000. And they forgot. And it came to the 4,000, they asked the question, "Where are we going to get the food from?" Have we ever done that? Particularly those of us who are referred to as commended workers, and we have seen the Lord bless us, and something arises in our life, and we say, "Now, where are we going to get the funds from?" And we duplicate exactly what the disciples did. We forget. And so there's a need to take heed to these things and remind ourselves. The Lord Jesus repeatedly told the disciples to take heed to things, to pay attention, to be careful. He said, "Take heed that you do not do your alms before men. Take heed that that little thing called pride, a self-seeking heart, doesn't exhibit itself, that we don't demonstrate to other people so that we are noticed." He said, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, hypocrisy and denying of Scripture. Take heed lest any man deceive you," he said to his disciples. Difficult times are coming is what he said to them. Don't be deceived. Don't think that things are going to get better. And of course, we just come right over into Paul's writings, and he tells us things will wax worse and worse. And somehow there was and is amongst some the mentality that certainly, you know, things will get better. He also told them to beware of covetousness, that little desire for more. And so the Lord Jesus constantly reminded his disciples to take heed, be careful, pay attention to these things. Don't let them slip away. The Apostle Paul, "To those who are laboring," he said, "but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." He says, "I've laid a foundation. And let every man take heed, be careful, give attention to how you build on that foundation." He said to those who had newfound liberty, "Take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block." Pay attention to this. Don't take it lightly. Just because you have liberty, you be very careful that you do not stumble another individual. To a brother who was ministering the word, he said, "Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." And what a constant reminder that should be to all of us who are called to do the work of the Lord, that we constantly give heed and pay attention to the ministry that the Lord has called us to, because it's easy to be distracted from it. But there are two that we read tonight that I want to draw our attention to. One was in Acts 20, said to the oversight, to the leaders in Ephesus. It said, "Take heed, take care of thyself. Make sure you keep your eye on yourselves." There's a need to keep an eye on yourself as well as on the Lord's people. And it's very easy, isn't it, to get involved in the work, and it is a work, and to be looking out for all the interests and concerns and difficulties of others, and not really pay attention to yourself and your own condition before the Lord. To Timothy, a teacher of the word, he said, take care of yourself as well as what you teach. Phillips translated, keep a critical eye both on your own life and on the teaching you give. Keep a critical eye on your own life and the teaching you give. It wouldn't surprise me if in a group this large, of those who have the responsibility of leading an assembly or a ministry that the Lord has given you, that it may be that you've experienced the situation where you are going through the motions of either providing leadership and or fulfilling a ministry, when in fact you are struggling spiritually, when in fact your life may be cold, when in fact the Bible is a closed book, when in fact you rarely find yourself on your knees, when in fact you may find it difficult to even open the Bible. You may walk by it, knowing you should open it, but other things call, responsibilities, ministries, people, needs, saints, and somehow you find yourself gone without really being in the book and not really being on your knees. And you even know it's happening, and you find it difficult to change. Is it possible? I believe so. So what are behind these exhortations to take heed to ourselves? First, I believe that Paul knows that one's own life tends to modify his own view of doctrine. You know, if I'm living a life that is not really a life of sanctification to the Lord, and I'm dabbling in things that are, quite frankly, let's put them in the shady category, when it comes to certain aspects of Scripture, I'm going to look at those Scriptures in light of my own behavior. And so when we take heed to ourselves, we must understand that it is my life's condition that may well impact the way I look at Scripture. You can notice, in fact, you can look at it, 1 Timothy 1:10. Paul talks about a list of people for whom the law is applicable. And at the very end of verse 10, he says, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, we can have things in our lives that, quite frankly, are contrary to sound doctrine, and they will modify the way we come to the Word of God. Secondly, one's life tends to modify his power to express the truth to others. Paul constantly, you remember, in 1 Thessalonians, for example, constantly reminds these saints of what manner of men they were amongst them. You might look at that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not only unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Look at verse 8 of chapter 2. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Verse 10. Ye are witnesses of chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblamely we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Let me just read you a quote. The truth of God may thus be studied as a mere intellectual exercise, and preached as a feat of rhetorical address, whilst yet the premises of the preacher's high argument are utterly foreign to his own godless experience. Like a sick physician, the preacher may prescribe, perhaps successfully, to others for the disease of which he himself is dying. So we need to take heed to ourselves, because it will modify the way we look at Scripture. It will reduce the effectiveness of our ability to present the truth to others. It's also been said that one's life has an influence which teaching cannot exert. That the way we live can exert an influence that teaching cannot. One has said this: the most elaborate discourse on sanctification will prove tame and ineffective in comparison with the eloquence of a humble, holy walk with God. So we need to take heed as to, where am I? Not only what am I doing and what's my ministry and how active I am, but where am I spiritually? And it is very possible to be very active in the Lord's work. And quite frankly, to be at a poor state spiritually. The truth is, I believe Paul knew the tendency to neglect our own spiritual condition. When he says to Timothy, "Take heed unto thyself," I think there's an exhortation from a veteran, if you'll allow me to call him missionary, a man of God, to Timothy, who, by the way, I believe is the only one in Scripture who's referred to as a man of God. And he says to him, take heed to yourself. Give special attention to yourself. Don't let it slide. Keep an up-to-date record as to where you are yourself. Not only your ministry, not only how active you are, but where are you personally in your own spiritual experience with the Lord Jesus. This is particularly true when we're looking out for the good of others. If we're shepherding the Lord's people, serving the Lord's people, speaking the word, it's very easy for us to be taken up with all the burdens and the concerns and the work and neglect our own souls. It's very possible that you have experienced a very heavy speaking schedule. But the truth is that everyone is a frightening moment, because you know really in your own soul you're not up to what you're speaking about. Brother Wearsby says this: a servant of God can be so busy helping others that he neglects himself and his own spiritual walk. It was Charles Finney who said concerning the text, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." He said, "Preacher, save thyself." And there's a need for us who are not necessarily only preachers, but who are active in the things of the Lord, sometimes to just pause and save ourselves. It's very possible we allow ourselves to slip away from the very truths we preach. Hebrews 2:1 says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." And I believe a better translation is probably that we slip away from them. And we who are known as those who are in the Lord's work are not immune. We're not at such a spiritual state that slipping away from the very things we preach is an impossibility. It's very possible if we don't take heed to ourselves. Robert Robinson wrote a hymn. The hymn is Brightness of Eternal Glory. Perhaps you're familiar with it. It's typically a hymn that we sing often at the Lord's Supper. Brightness of eternal glory, shall thy praise unuttered lie? Who would hush the heaven-sent story of the Lamb who came to die? Came from Godhead's fullest glory down to Calvary's depth of woe. Now on high we bow before thee, streams of praises, ceaseless flow. Beautiful words, aren't they? But he also wrote another hymn. It's called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And in that hymn, he wrote these words. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And the man who wrote Brightness of Eternal Glory did exactly that. In his latter years, he lapsed into sin and got involved in Unitarianism. The man who wrote Brightness of Eternal Glory, shall thy praise unuttered lie? Who would hush the heaven-sent story of the Lamb who came to die? He failed to take heed unto himself. A story is told that Robinson was riding in a stagecoach when he noticed a woman deeply engrossed in a hymn book. She turned to him and asked him what he thought of the hymn she was humming. He said, "Madam, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote this hymn many years ago. And I would give 1,000 words if I had them to enjoy the feeling I had then." It is not impossible. There is that natural tendency, if we do not take heed to ourselves, to drift spiritually. We know that with the fall, deterioration came into this world. Whether it's the human body, whether it's mechanical devices, metals, a house, land, everything left alone to itself deteriorates. And this is true spiritually as well. This is why in Scripture there are these statements, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. The psalmist says, keep thy heart with all diligence. You know, and I haven't experienced this lately, but you know that if you have a garden and you do nothing to it, it doesn't improve. You have to constantly work because in nature, things left to themselves deteriorate. And therefore, in our own spiritual lives, doing little or nothing leads to spiritual deterioration. We do not have to go off into gross sin or immorality or things of that nature to have our spiritual life decline. We only have to fail to take heed to ourselves and do nothing, and it will happen. Turn me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 24. Beautifully illustrated for us in the Word of God. Verse verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And then I saw and considered well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come like one that traveleth, and thy want like an armed man. In verse 30, there are two people described, the slothful or the sluggard. And the word means to lean idly, to be lazy. And it's possible for us to be active and lazy at the same time. Active in all types of doing, but yet spiritually lazy when it comes to taking heed unto ourselves. God promised conformity to Christ, not comfort. Heaven is assured, but we're not there yet. And there is the need to keep ourselves diligently, to keep our hearts, to keep our souls. I ask myself, am I spiritually lazy? Oh, I don't mean, am I inactive? I don't mean that I'm just sitting by and playing golf 3 days a week. I mean, am I really taking heed unto my own spiritual condition, my own relationship with the Lord Jesus? What is my fellowship like? What is my communion like with the Lord Jesus? Am I spiritually lazy? Do I find other things taking the place of prayer? Other things taking the place of the Word of God? A second person is looked upon and described as void of understanding. We might call them the senseless one. New American Standard says, lack of sense, in need of sense. He lacked common sense. When I was employed with a pharmaceutical firm, I was in a position where I often interviewed people to be hired. And I came to realize there's a vast difference between one's intelligence and one's common sense. The question is, do I have spiritual common sense? Do I dabble in things that are not helpful, that do not promote Christian growth? Do I go places that might harm my testimony or diminish it? Many other similar questions could be asked. Is this good spiritual common sense? Then the writer goes on to describe, isn't it interesting, how their ground pictures the person. We have a man who is lazy and one who has a lack of common sense, and he looks at their properties, and one is all grown over with thorns and nettles, and the other one, the stone wall, is broken down. We know that thorns and nettles are the products of a cursed earth. Very good picture to us of the flesh, the natural man. And we have to remember this in our spiritual lives. Unkept ground always returns to nature. Unkept ground always returns to the control of nature. And so it is in our own spiritual lives, with our own souls. Unkept ground will return to nature. And the flesh will evidence itself. And by the way, these things are harmful to others. And when flesh evidences itself in our own lives, it will be harmful not only to us, but to others. And that's why Paul says, take heed to thyself, Timothy, and to the doctrine, for in so doing you'll not only save yourself, but you'll save others. And we don't have to do anything. For the weeds, we're so familiar with this. We perhaps spend, a fair amount of money but put down what we call weed killer, because our neighbor has dandelions. And we don't have to do anything, and they crop up in our lawn. They just come. You would think that someone come over and actually sow the seeds. So we work at it, don't we? And isn't it true in our own spiritual lives that things just come? We don't have to go out and seek them and bring them in. There needs to be that constant vigilance, that constant diligence to take heed to ourselves. And then the wall was broken down. The senseless one, I believe. The boundary walls, the wall of separation. The line of demarcations are gone, and the little foxes creep in, and things that at one time we would not consider, we begin to think about doing. I remember it was Billy Graham who said, I watch things on television now that 10 years I would have said I would never watch. Is that true with us? It didn't come in as a flood. There was the breaking down of the lines of demarcation, and the little changes started to take place, and the deterioration started to take place. And eventually, their property began to manifest what they were. And you know, our lives will manifest what we are. If we're spiritually lazy, or we lack spiritual common sense, we can be sure that given time, our lives will show what we are. He tells us he observed these things, verse 32. He meditated on it, he looked on it, and received instruction. Excellent pattern of learning. He observed, he thought about it, and came to a conclusion. And this is the conclusion he came to. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Perhaps we could say, here's a conclusion he came to. Neglect is never planned. There isn't a person who has backslidden as a Christian who sat down and got their weekly planner out and said, let's see, Monday, 2 o'clock, I think I'll backslide. Neglect is never planned. It begins with little surrenders in daily decisions. Just a little sleep. Not a permanent thing. I've been faithfully praying, faithfully reading. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. I just need a break. And one break leads to two breaks, to three breaks. A little folding of the hands to sleep. Neglect is rationalized. Never planned, but it's rationalized. We begin to explain it away. Well, yeah, it's not that important, not that big. I'm only going to do it this once. Something happened, and we begin to rationalize it. The sluggard, you know, he says, it's too cold to plow. Because he waited. Neglect eventually leads to ruin. You see, verse 34 says, so shall thy poverty come like one that traveleth. I can remember I'm one of five sons. The first four of us were pretty much grew up together. The fifth came much later. But the four of us would travel with our parents from Philadelphia down to the seashore, about a 60-mile ride. But in those days, you know, you took inner tubes with you in case the tires went flat, and you stopped a couple times and changed the tire, and you can imagine an un-air-conditioned car, parents, four kids packed, going to the shore. We would sing songs and all these things. It would seem like forever before we ever got there. And our parents probably thought the same. But you know something? Given time, we got there. And this is exactly the lesson that's being pointed out here. Neglect our souls. Fail to take heed to ourselves. Take a little sleep, a little slumber, and given time, it will lead to ruin. And we know, don't we, not only as amongst those with whom we gather, but we know there have been men of God who have failed to take heed to themselves, and given time, it brought them to ruin. You know, we talk about the president, and sickening it is. But you know, not maybe in the specific actions and area of his life, but there have been men of God who, given time, have gotten themselves into horrible situations. And remember, as Christians, we sin in the light. The unbeliever sins in the dark. We sin in the light. Why? Because they neglected themselves. They failed to take heed unto themselves. And eventually, it led to ruin. And neglect also leads to captivity. Thy want like an armed man. You become captive to the very thing that you become. I honestly believe the president is captive to his sin. And we can go to the place where we become captive because we took a little break, a little slumber, a break just temporary. There is a need, and Scripture constantly says it to us. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Scripture also says, if one thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. One of the greatest mistakes we can make is to think that we're men and women of God who would never get into any situation such as the things we've talked about and described. We are setting ourselves up for the fall. You see, there is the tendency to deteriorate. Christianity is like rowing a boat upstream. You stop rowing and you do not stand still. We have enemies, don't we? We don't have time to go into them, but as strange as it may seem, the Lord's work itself could so occupy us that, quite frankly, it replaces the Lord himself. Weariness, we overwork ourselves. We somehow get the image that it's ungodly to say no. And we become weary and we become like Elijah and we really get down. And then there's the world, and Paul said to Timothy, look, don't get entangled in the affairs of life. And then there's warfare. We do have an adversary. Paul says he hindered me. And that's why prayer is so important, isn't it? The last place the adversary wants to see us is on our knees. And isn't that, though, the great place of acknowledgement of our weakness and acknowledgement of our dependence upon the Lord? And it's a great place to take heed unto ourselves. So when we think of ourselves as those who are either in leadership or in the Lord's work, remember Paul's admonition to Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. There are those who are looking. There are those who are listening. And if we fail to take heed to ourselves, we may, quite frankly, take them with us. I believe the saving in that chapter is they'll be saved from the things that are spoken of in that chapter. False doctrine, wives' fables, and all those things that it's easy to get off into. Brothers and sisters, let us take heed. Let us keep ourselves spiritually active. Let's make sure that in all our doing, we take heed to ourselves. Let's close in prayer. Gracious God and Father, tonight we come to Thee in the precious name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we're so blessed to think that we're accepted in the Beloved. And as we approach Thee in His name, we come in all of Your delight of Him. Lord, we have considered Your word tonight and the exhortation to take heed to ourselves. Lord, we confess to You, it is so easy to fail to take this admonition, so easy to be active and to have our own personal spiritual lives deteriorate, to have our fellowship with Thee and Thy Son be interrupted, to not be in the good of the very things we may preach, or at least have a desire to be in the good of them. Lord, challenge our hearts that we take heed to ourselves. Keep us from being overconfident. And Lord, those who may fall and falter, may those who are spiritual restore such a one. So we give Thee thanks for our time. We thank You for Your word that is so pointed, so applicable to everyday life, so true, so perfect. We thank You that we have it to guide us through this life. And may we, as Paul said to Timothy, abide thou in the things which thou hast learned. So we give Thee our thanks for this conference, for this assembly, for each one present. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.